Yes, we are live from the Wells Fargo Center in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Day three of the 2016 Democratic National Convention. Joining us right now, our friend and who's with us all the time on the drive from Washington, D.C., usually, but Congressman Jared Huffman with us. Great to see you again.
Well, it's great to see you in person,
yeah.
Steve.
We last
usually
time,
are on the
yeah,
phone
Yeah, usually
together.
On the phone. Last time we were in your office in April.
Yeah.
But other than that, yeah, it's usually on the phone. I got to tell everyone, poor Jared broke his ankle playing tennis last week. He's on crutches. I'm using a cane because of my back, and it's hard enough for me. I can't imagine what it's like with a broken ankle and crutches getting around here.
It complicates things, but we're doing okay.
Yeah, you're keeping it positive, and that's
absolutely
that's always the way to go.
Yeah.
So you've been here this week. Give me your thoughts. This is day three. Bill Clinton last night. That was special, and it was needed, right? Because it was very personal. He talked about how I met a girl in 1971, and he did it a great job, as Bill was wont to do.
I loved it. I loved
yeah,
it.
Me too.
And it did fill an important need, and that is to kind of reintroduce Hillary Clinton, who has been redefined and demonized by this attack machine on the right for so many years that I think people have forgotten the human being, and frankly, a human being who's spent most of her life helping kids and the disabled and folks who are disadvantaged.
Families.
There's a great personal story to tell, and to hear it in such personal terms from Bill was wonderful. I don't know about you, Steve, but I couldn't help contrasting that very personal and specific detailed reflection with the emptiness I heard in the Trump family speeches.
Yeah.
You didn't hear anything to warm your heart about Donald Trump
exactly.
in those speeches.
Because I don't think there is anything.
Well,
if their kids can't do it, who else?
These are trust fund kids that were raised by professional staff and sent to boarding schools. They probably don't have a lot of material that's very personal.
Yeah, they probably
or
don't
resonant
know them that well.
With real people, right? but I think the Clintons have a real life story to tell, and we heard a lot of it last night.
Yeah, I like it. He said, "She's the best darn change maker I have ever met in my entire life. This woman has never been satisfied with the status quo on anything. She always wants to move the ball forward. That's just who she is." I think it was really important last night.
Yeah.
To really get personalize it.
Me too. And I think we'll hear a little more of that. I believe Chelsea is speaking today or tomorrow.
Yeah. I think tomorrow she's introducing
I think that's
her mom.
Right.
Yeah.
So I expect that to be another very personal window into Hillary.
Yeah. Tonight's big. The president, the vice president, and the vice presidential candidate, Tim Kaine, all speaking. That's going to be exciting.
It is. And I think most people are especially excited to hear from President Obama.
Right.
This will be his last big moment to speak to Democrats at an event like this. And I think you'll be able to hear a pin drop in that hall.
And tomorrow night, the big night, the final one, what are your thoughts on what Hillary Clinton, kind of approach she's going to take? It's bound to be probably one of her most important speeches ever.
I would agree. She certainly has to continue the reconciliation process that I think has begun and has moved forward at this convention for the Bernie Sanders supporters. But she's also got a very persuasively lay out that contrast between her and Donald Trump in a way that doesn't stoop to his level.
Yeah, and she's
going to
have ideas.
Yeah.
She's not just going to say, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, how are you going to do it?
Exactly.
We'll let you know. But she's going to have real ideas.
And it's a harder task than what Trump had.
Exactly.
When your job is simply to anger people, that's a heck of a lot easier to do than when you're trying to focus them and inspire them and organize them and motivate them. Those are just inherently harder tasks.
The polls are surprisingly close. Of course, none of us, including, I believe, Donald Trump, ever thought he would get this far. My take has always been that he wanted to up his brand, make it the biggest reality TV show. Yeah, and he'd never get that far. I don't think he really probably wants to be president, but he's kind of stuck now. But it's amazing how close the polls are. And I think the thing that he said, the things he said this morning in Florida, did you hear about that?
About Putin. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, these are going to keep coming, and it's going to, but as we get closer to the election, don't you think that people that haven't made up their mind yet, or even people who think, well, I'm going to probably vote for Trump, between the things he's going to say and what is going to probably happen if they do debates, which we're not even sure Trump is committed to yet. But don't you think at some point it's going to implode? I
think Trump will continue to give those of us that don't like him infinite amounts of material to not like him.
You're right.
But my concern, Steve, is exactly what you said. If you look at the polls right now, they're way closer than they should be. And it may be what Trump has said all along, that he could stand in Central Park and shoot people and
wouldn't
not
lose any
have
voters.
A drop in the polls.
Yeah.
So I don't think anyone should be complacent about this election, should just assume that Trump will fail under his own weight. We're going to have to work for this. We're going to have to organize and get out there and make it happen, because it's a very strange electorate this year.
The most bizarre I've seen in all my years, and I'm 63, I started voting in 72. Of course, we've never seen anything like this.
Yeah, I'm a little further behind you there, but same for me.
Yeah. Well, so sorry about your ankle and trying to get around on crutches here, but I love how positive you are about it all.
It's fine. Look, there are people at this convention with significant disabilities,
yeah.
People that have had to go to Herculean lengths to just get here,
right.
And to pay for it. So I'm just another delegate here who's thrilled to be part of the, I think, historic situation that we're seeing before our eyes.
Are you a super delegate?
I am a super delegate. Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that? Because Lanny Davis, who was on the committee back in the 80s that established the super delegates, he was with us yesterday, and he's always said that he's not so sure that it was the right way to go. You know, he's kind of wishy-washy on it.
But. So we did support a consensus reform in the party platform this year that would dramatically scale back the number of superdelegates. I think it would only be governors and members of Congress, really. And I think that's as it should be. There should be just a heck of a lot fewer. Now, in terms of my desire, I would love not to be a superdelegate, to tell you the truth.
Really?
It's a pain. It hasn't been a great experience.
Why? What's different from a delegate and a superdelegate?
Well, as a superdelegate, you're supposed to have the interests of the party at heart, right? That's sort of inherently why they were created, to help steer the party towards victory in the general election. But I think there is rightfully an expectation among your constituents that you maybe not try to sway the election, that you simply wait and listen to what they have to say and mirror that. Well, if that's all you're going to do, they should eliminate them completely. They just shouldn't even exist, because they're redundant, right?
Yeah.
So you're put into this role of potentially having tension between the interests of the party and what you see as the best path forward politically and what might happen in any given congressional district. It's just a little awkward.
Seems like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of what Lanny was getting at when he was talking about that. Well, great to see you. Best of luck getting around here, and I really appreciate you taking the time. Our good friend, he's with us at least once a month, Jared Huffman, our congressman. Great to see you.
Thanks, Steve.
All right.